In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My family and I recently had a movie night, and we all took our time choosing what we wanted to watch, and finally we all agreed upon an animated film called Leap. Leap is about a young orphan who dreams of being a dancer, and she makes her way to Paris with her best friend and her only possession, a music box given to her by her late mother. Now, my family and I were well into the movie when a scene came on where the orphan finds herself in this opulent palace where she's now assisting the maid. And she accidentally intrudes upon a well-to-do young dancer, also her age. Now, instead of an amicable greeting by this beautiful and well-put-together young woman, the well-to-do girl, in a heartless fit, tosses the orphan's precious, beloved music box out the window and onto the ground where it breaks apart. My oldest daughter, Olivia, bursts into tears at this point in the movie. And then I realized that Olivia has had almost all experiences of kindness in relationships. Here she was witnessing heartlessness, callousness, for maybe the first time. So I thought, well, do we turn off the movie? Do we stop here? Do we restore her sense that the world is one of harmony and of peace? We paused the movie. We told her to hang in there, because sometimes people we think who are friends turn out to be cruel and unkind. She got herself together, she stopped crying, and we proceeded with the movie. The way Olivia felt is kind of how I felt after hearing today's gospel lesson. Suddenly, Jesus, of all people, has this unexpected edge. Distressed, disruptive, fire-wielding Jesus, promising to bring division rather than peace. Households divided, parent against parent, in-law against in-law. In the Episcopal Church, preachers preach from what's called the lectionary, as many of you know. So every week, our scriptures have been predetermined with a particular set of readings. It repeats itself every 3 years. And today, people across the United States and the world are hearing the same readings read, the same gospel proclaimed. Fire-wielding, divisive Jesus. That means that you can't get a version of Jesus pre-selected by me or by Olivia. The church won't let us pause the tape and revise it to our comfort and mine. Today we hear a story that opens our eyes to the reality of the coming of the kingdom of God. Its coming has the power to divide us. And so we here in the Episcopal Church hear both comfortable and comforting stories from God's word and then downright disruptive discourses of Jesus like the one we heard today. It's like we've decided as a church to keep the movie running, to let the conflict play out instead of turning it off and forgetting that you ever saw it. We shouldn't be surprised at the fierceness of Jesus today. The Gospel of Luke has been leading up to this for the entirety of its course. Luke is filled with words that promise, even threaten, to turn the world upside down. While Jesus was within his mother's womb, she sings about the coming of the kingdom in the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, she says, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly, and filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. And then 8 days after Jesus is born, in the Gospel of Luke, he's presented in the temple, not with the customary offering of 5 shekels of silver, but with 2 turtle doves, the offering of a poor family. And Simeon recognizes Jesus as the Savior, but also adds, this child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many shall be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so we continue on the journey that Jesus was taking to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke today. A journey with the purpose of reestablishing the order of all that exists in the name of love. And with that love comes the threat of overturning those things which keep us comfortable. If God is to lift up the lowly, that upsets the delicate balance that keeps the powerful up high. This was a Savior born to disrupt the peace, to overturn the status quo. This is proclaiming the upsetting of the powerful in favor of the lowly. Of course, Jesus' message would overturn the family. The inception of this kingdom overturns everything else. But this is also the God we proclaim week after week, in whom we put our trust. This is the God that by faith brought us to this moment, on down the line of the generations of the faithful ones mentioned in the book of Hebrews today. By faith, our spiritual ancestors moved through their own times of trial and tribulation and disturbance and division through into the kingdom of God more realized today. Episcopal priest Suzanne Guthrie shared in her reflection on the gospel this week, scenes where the choice of radical love upsets the family balance. Here's one of them. Francis of Assisi publicly forsakes his father in the town square. Here's how it's recollected in a biography called Reluctant Saint by Donald Spoto. Spoto writes, because Francis took bolts of cloth from his father's business, selling them and giving away the money, his father brings a legal suit against Francis. But the day's surprises had just begun. With remarkable composure, Francis rose from his place and approached the bishop. My lord, he said, raising his voice, I will gladly give back to my father not only the money acquired from his things, but even all my clothes. With that, Francis slipped through a side door of the cathedral and only appeared moments later, stark naked, standing before the bishop, holding out all of his clothes and a cash purse on top of them. The astonished bishop took the garments and the money and handed them over to an acolyte. Francis now turned to the crowd and said, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Until now, I have called Peter Bernadorn my father. But because I have proposed to serve God, I return to him the money on account of which he was so upset. And I also return all the clothing which is his. And I want only to say from now on, our Father who art in heaven, and not my father, Peter Bernadorn. 15 years ago, I began living in an intentional community with 14 roommates. We shared common values. We pursued living together in the spirit of those values. Our values were spirituality, simple living, social justice, community, and professional development. And a few months into this program, I had a sense that these people were like a family. And then, like clockwork, the division ensued. Our leaders told us to expect it to happen, that whenever you're committed to any group, any church, any community, any family, if you're actually going somewhere, if you're going deeper with God and with one another, you can expect a period of storming. And storming we did. Because the pursuit of love, the pursuit of God's kingdom, it disrupts. It disrupts our delicate balance. As we made choices that drove us deeper into the meaning of our shared values, the harder it became for a while to live with one another. What was it that Jesus said? You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Here's the thing. Ask any one of us in this room to interpret these times that we are living in today. Ask me, ask the person sitting next to you, ask yourself. And you will get as many answers as there are people sitting in this room. And if we really started talking about the present time, we would likely be mightily divided, not unlike the rest of this nation. So here's what Jesus, what the gospel is calling us to today, to keep our eyes fixed on the common goal, the kingdom. To keep striving to live out the hope of that kingdom, knowing that none of us has a complete interpretation, but all of us have the power to live in the way of love. And that love, if we live it, if we're really living it, will disrupt and will cause distress. But it is the hope of the world which we proclaim. So we finished that movie with our daughter and that little girl who tossed out the music box onto the floor. Her true heart was eventually revealed. And one could find an inkling of compassion for her on top of the girl whose music box had been broken. I watched my daughter as she observed the conflicts that can so often occur in the human family play out. We saw her at times looking on with hope, her eyes wide. We watched her heart break. We watched her see that if you stick with it, the good wins out in the end. And it's not just storybook endings on films that we're talking about. This is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming today. That the kingdom of God will be made real, but it's only made real through trial, made real through the hard work of disrupting things as they are, made real through the pursuit of justice at the expense of peace. And in the end, the good will win. The question is, are your eyes, are my eyes set toward the kingdom? Amen. Amen.